Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for September 2012. I'm DJ Frederick. Mixed Media is about DIY publishing, taking a look at homemade publications in the digital age. Blogs can be deleted, but paper has an archival quality that can be read for decades to come. Making a zine is a hands-on act of creation, putting your work out into the tangible world to share with others. Going to start this edition of Mixed Media Audio Zine off with a reading from Aloha from Hawaii, a zine by P5. This is from the introduction. Aloha presents a range of natural lifestyles. It is intended as a key to sources, practical ideas, alternatives, and self-sufficiency. It is concerned with non-polluted living and growing, the back-to-earth movement, surviving in the city, the bush, food and diet, and the inner changes which follow when you are in tune with nature. When you come to the tropics, as long as you are daring enough to venture beyond the comfort zone of your hotel room, you can't help but learn about having aloha, which as a word can mean hello or goodbye. Aloha also means having love, patience, presence, kindness, and mindfulness in everything that we do. It has nothing to do with skin color, social class, what we look like, or how fancy our stuff is. Where there is aloha, a handmade or homegrown gift is even more appreciated than some mass-produced crap bought from mass-produced stores, expensive or not. To live in aloha is to live true to the deepest place in our hearts. To live aloha is to value the truly good things in life. Aloha from Hawaii. And that was from P5's zine, Aloha from Hawaii. I'll be reading more from that zine later in the program and in the next edition of Mixed Media Audio Zine. Well, as listeners to Mixed Media Audio Zine know, I like to include some indie music in every edition. And sometimes I'll play like several pieces within the course of the half-hour show. I'm going to play something now from that was released on Bicycle Records. You can check them out at bicyclerecords.com. This is Eli Moore in a great song called John, Mark, Luke, and Paul.
Stop.
Eli Moore from his EP. We heard John, Mark, Luke, and Paul, and that's available from Bicycle Records at www.bicyclerecords.com. Well, zines are all about freedom of speech, but all too often zines are not well archived or saved or documented in any way. That's why there are zine libraries and groups of individuals who collect and preserve zines. I'm going to read a piece from a zine called Zine Capsule, written and edited by Kim Schwenk, with contributions from Jenna Friedman, Margaret Nee, and Tori Quinones. How to Archive, DIY Tips for the Independent Archivist. I've been working in rare book libraries and archives for about 10 years. Quite considerable care goes into the preservation of these items. Some of them don't exist in but one source. How can we brush aside the past to reinvent the future? Our zines are very special. Some are one of a kind, like those rare manuscripts. So the hope would be to find a place to have them for a really long time. All this right in the convenience of our own homes. Archiving on a budget. Preservation issues, housing, climate control. The advantage a library has over us personal collectors is a budget. Although that's not always the case with some nonprofit organizations. Most of us don't have the funds to buy top-of-the-line archival supplies and climate-controlled conditions. Of course, those are ideal, for example, acid-free folders, boxes, temperature control, and adequate storage. Those products are really expensive. There are some simple and cheap ways to keep your zines safe from wear and age. Wood is the primary source of cellulose fiber for paper being produced today. The lignin breaks down and produces acid. Acidity causes paper to lose its strength because of the loss of molecules that bind it together. The more lignin in paper, the more acidic it is. The two worst elements to paper are heat and light, big components of cellulose breakdown. Heat makes paper weak and brittle, and light fades images irreversibly. Moisture, water, and bugs come around second, although in many cases the damage can be controlled, unless of course your zines get dunked in a bucket of water. Here's a DIY tip. If your zines do get wet, don't dab them with anything. Hang them out to dry like laundry. It's best if the pages are separated, but sometimes a cool on-low fan will unstuck those pages. You don't want to risk tearing the pages. Sometimes you can peel pages apart, but mind the level of damage. Before storing again, make sure the paper and fabric is completely dry. And that's a reading from Zine Capsule about preserving zines, written and edited by Kim Schwenk, with contributions from Jenna Friedman, Margaret Nee, and Tori Quinones. And I'll be reading more from Zine Capsule in the not-too-distant future.
My name's Eleanor Whitney. This piece is called Marking Time. It was published in my personal zine, Indulgence, in the 9th issue. It was the day before the first Gulf War started. It was before the yellow ribbons mushroomed around oak trees and even some pines on the high school lawn. Before we watched the Scud missiles exploding over Baghdad like a light show at the planetarium. Before Insane Hussein became a playground chant. I was in third grade. My teacher, Ms. Sorensen, told us to pull our chairs into a circle in the center of our small portable classroom. She handed each of us 3 poker chips, red and blue, no white. She explained that when we had something to say, we would raise our hands, and when our turn came, we would put one of the chips into the center of the room. This way, she said, each one of you will have 3 turns to speak, and we'll all get an equal chance. Ms. Sorensen wanted us to talk about our feelings about the war and our hopes and ideas for peace. I don't remember what I said, but I do remember my friend David, who had immigrated from Iran, feeling scared for his family. I remember the feeling as I placed one of my poker chips in the center of the room. My classmates would listen to me, and it would mean something. Together we could, perhaps, even work towards an idea I vaguely understood as peace. Perched in a plastic chair with 20 other third graders, I felt something I'd never felt before. It was the first time I'd been asked to share my feelings about world events in public. I knew that our conversation wouldn't stop the war, but sitting in that circle, my words took on a power I didn't know they could have. They had a weight to them. As we talked, I began to imagine that this might be what peace felt like. I was 9 years old, and I felt dread and despair about the war. Later, we cut doves out of colored construction paper and scotch-taped them to our classroom windows. At least the Yarmouth Elementary School would know that our classroom supported peace. War gives me a new way of marking time. It is the Saturday after the Second Gulf War officially started, March 22, 2003. Warm breezes waft between mid-Manhattan buildings brightened by early spring sun. My friends and I are marching against the war down Broadway with 250,000 other New Yorkers. Laughing with my friends, pointing out signs we like to each other, I realize public protest is a way to find hope in our community as we collectively express our pain, rage, and despair. It is an attempt to support each other in constructing a more humane society. It is part of a lifelong search to live in such a way that affirms life and fosters creativity, compassion, empathy, and love. It is part of creating an alternative to a system that perpetuates itself through greed and death. It is finding different ways to express our voices when we're shut out of the mainstream. On this day, it is finally warm enough for me to roll my sleeves up, and I feel a guilty sadness creep over me. New Yorkers are having a dance party in the streets while bombs fall on Iraqis' homes. What are we really accomplishing? But I know we need to keep demonstrating publicly, challenging other community members, the media, and the government to listen to us, to show that America is not united behind conquest of the Middle East, deaths of Iraqi civilians, and a war for oil. A few nights later, I went to a poetry reading by Jen Benka. Before she read, she discussed how we the people need to critically examine the ideas of liberty, freedom, and democracy as utilized by the United States government. We need to define these words for ourselves. As she reads her poems, I realize all over again that resistance can take so many forms. I can never underestimate what people can create, no matter what their circumstances. Not everyone has the privilege of making art against war, but when I see the radical work of artists and when I march with thousands of others against the atrocities of war, I know a language beyond domination is being articulated clearly, loudly, boldly. My resistance is rooted in the realities of my everyday life. Within the despair and bitter outrage this war has brought on, I found moments of clarity. What first found voice in a third-grade classroom has become a lifetime commitment to struggling for self-expression and self-determination for myself and for all people.
some music from a very limited edition CD compilation, of which only 100 copies were made. That's from the Quiver Society compilation, and you heard Catch the Bear with a tune called Honeybee. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for September 2012. I'm going to read some more from P5 in the zine Aloha from Hawaii. I'm going to start a piece called Two Cultures, A Contrast in Lifestyles. Why does it matter to me in Chicago if some tribe in Africa disappears? My answer is that it probably doesn't matter to you in Chicago at all if a tribe in Africa disappears. And what does it matter to a tribe in Africa if Chicago disappears? Again, not at all. But wouldn't the world be a weaker, more impoverished place were either of those to occur? Diversity is not just a foundation of stability. It is an article of faith. It is the fundamental indicator of the way the world is supposed to be. The dominant culture, whether it's Aztec or Greek or today American, always believes that it exists outside of culture, outside of history. It doesn't perceive itself as a culture. It is just the real world. We don't see our development paradigm of globalization as being what it is, simply one form of economic activity emanating from one part of the world that happens to have been very successful. We see it as a wave of history. If you don't get on that wave, you are going to miss out. The truth is, our economy is but a reflection of our culture, and our culture is but one of several thousand options. The choices that cultures make have consequences, and our choices have, by any definition, ridden roughshod over the planet. We have this conceit in the West that while we've been busy with technological innovation, the other peoples of the world have somehow been intellectually idle. Nothing could be further from the truth. Other cultures are not failed attempts at being us. They are unique manifestations of the human imagination and the human heart. When asked the meaning of being human, they respond with 6,000 distinct voices, and those voices collectively become the human repertoire for dealing with the challenges that will confront us as a species. The modern industrial society as we know it is 300 years old. That shallow history shouldn't suggest that we all have all the answers for the ensuing millennia. And that was a reading from an essay called Two Cultures, A Contrast in Lifestyles by P5 from Aloha from Hawaii. And I'll be reading more from that lecture in upcoming editions of the Mixed Media Audio Zine.
Looks just like you and play safe, return home, cross the seas.
Emma Gatrill from the CD that accompanies Magpie Magazine number 5, that was a tune called Josephine. I'd like to read a little bit more now from Zine Capsule about preserving zines. Care is about common sense mostly. Keep zines away from the direct sunlight from windows, humid basements, our pets, etc. are just a few. The best ideal conditions for any paper-based material for longevity is dark, cool, dry environments, say a closet or a shelf away from a window off the floor. So ultimately, where would you keep your zines? We love our zines like we love our books, art, knickknacks, and old stuffed animals. Of course we're going to read them, showing our devotion. Most people just stack them on a bookcase like books. The problem with that is curled pages, improper bookends, and fading images. You could always keep a few zines out at a time and store the rest when not reading. And that was a little bit more from Zine Capsule, a zine about zine collecting for the future by Kim Schwenk. This is DJ Frederick. You are listening to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for September 2012. Your comments are always welcomed at fmoe@colby-sawyer.edu. That's Frederick Michael Oscar Echo at colby-sawyer.edu. We're going to close out this edition from another selection from the Quiver Society compilation. This is Caleb Frade and the Lamplighter School.
By any other face. spot I know that is my place. Forced by any other face. Spot I know is my place. Spot I know is my place. Spot I know is my place. Spot I know.